feel like a big piece of my story is that I listened really hard to what the enemy was telling me about life back in my late teens and early 20s. And that went into a huge portion of what I chose and when I chose it. And I just want them to know that, like, if they're struggling with something internally, that it's okay to be honest about it.
Welcome to Diary of the Mom Squad with Kate and Brittany. Tune in for insights into the hilarious, heartfelt, and often chaotic world of motherhood, where no one has everything figured out and we all need a whole lot of Jesus. So grab a cup of coffee, take a break, and join this crazy journey together. This is Diary of the Mom Squad, where moms connect, support, and thrive.
This month on Diary of the Mom Squad, Kate and I are joined by Deborah and Becky, the other Journey Moms, talk all things Mother's Day and leaving a legacy for our kids. This month is also sponsored by the Maple Leaf Tea Room in downtown Lynchburg. Also, make sure you make reservations if you want to go on the weekend. So welcome, ladies.
Good morning.
Hello.
We were just talking about how crazy busy the month of, what did you call it, Deborah?
May-cember.
Yes.
I didn't come up with that.
I saw somebody else post that, and I was like, wait, what does that mean?
Yep. No, I didn't come up with it. But
well, the kids are getting out of school. Like, Stella has done May 20th, which is like 2 weeks from now.
Yeah. I'm
like,
my kids have 2.5 weeks.
Yeah,
that's
mine
it.
Are at about three was the start for today. So, yeah. I think it's crazy. Does it feel weird that Mother's Day is in the month of May? Like, I feel like that's a cruel joke of some kind.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit.
That's what I saw somebody say. They were like, we have Mother's Day in the midst of us trying to, you know, plan graduation parties.
Right.
Or it's teacher appreciation. Can't we do that in like February
when
nothing else is going on?
Right. Like, why do we have to do it all in the same month?
I don't know. I find myself getting very overwhelmed these days with all the things all the time. So much so that I think my face is starting to show it. Like, not just like from the wrinkle standpoint, but the stressed standpoint. Somebody looked at me the other day and they were like, oh my gosh, are you okay? Did something just happen? And I was like, oh, I'm just going through my calendar.
Thinking everything all at once.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think that's just, I think it is the time, especially like right now, summer is coming up. So you're having like, okay, what do? I have to plan for my kids, you know, like I don't want them sitting in front of screens all day. So like, what can we do? What can I think of next for them? So yeah, I think it always is just kind of a crazy season.
It is. Yeah,
that is for sure. Well, when we think about like the craziness too, like it seems like, you know, you think summer things would slow down because kids are out of school, but it really doesn't.
Nope.
There's constantly things going on and things to do. But how do we be intentional about like the legacy that we're leaving our kids during, you know, the busy times even? And what can we do? Like, what small things can we do to like point them back to Jesus?
I know for us, having two at home that are pretty much teenagers, they are quick to be like, hey, mom, can I come with you? Can I, you know, whatever errand I'm running, or even if I'm dropping one kid off one place, the other kid's like, hey, can I come with you?
Oh, that's so nice. They want to spend time with you.
Well, yes. But sometimes I'm like, mom just wanted to be by herself.
Yeah.
Right.
But that, just being intentional, being like, great, yeah, come on. And then we end up having conversation in the car about like what's going on in their life. Or the latest sixth grade girl drama, you know, like all the things. But that is just one way in the midst of, hey, I've got to do these other things. Like, come along with me. Almost like see what mom's doing.
Right.
And
right.
then also just it gives us time, you know, turn the radio off and just have conversation about what's going on in their world.
I remember a lot of that when I was growing up. It was, and I saw a post about it the other day that was like, our parents didn't really like entertain us and give us things to do or like play with us, or they just hung out with us. Like if they had to run an errand, we had to go.
Yeah.
Or if they had to like do yard work, guess what? We were a part of it. And it was just intentionally doing things with each other that kind of fostered those relationships. I remember we would go on walks almost every night after dinner and that like always fostered really good conversation. I don't know why something like about going on a walk made it feel like you could say anything. I guess because you were like outside and like in nature and you could just say whatever.
There was freedom there.
Yeah, there was like freedom in those moments to have some of like those deep conversations.
I think about that sometimes. I get up in my head a little bit sometimes because my mom is amazing. Like she has always just been, she's been one of those people that I think has always dreamt of and lived for being a mom and now a grandmother, and she does it really well, right? And so when I became a mom, like full disclosure, I wasn't even sure I wanted to be a mom. And then like, you know, you know, and I love my children and it's been the best gift of my whole life to have these kids. But I didn't feel like I was doing it very well in the early years, and I still don't feel like I'm doing it very well sometimes now. But I just think back to like you were just mentioning, just those really simple, intentional things that maybe didn't feel all that intentional to my mom when she was doing them. Like, I'm sure she was probably just in the survival mode that we all are now, you know? And I think back now and just think, okay, that meant a lot to me that she talked to me while we were making breakfast in the morning or while she was meal prepping, because I don't know about you, but meal prep at our house is like crazy time. And I'm like, kind of get out of my kitchen. Let me just finish this. Like, I don't want to have these heart-to-heart conversations now, you know. But she always showed up in a way that was just very simple. And everybody joked around. They were like, your mom is always around. Aww. Does that not like annoy you? And I was like, no, is your mom not great, always around?
Well, I think sometimes that goes back to, like, how we see things and how our kids see things. Yeah. You know, like, I think sometimes just those moments alone that we want. But I think for us, what is the reality that that looks like? Just like, oh, I can turn my brain off for a few minutes, you know, versus. Mm-hmm. But if we do something with the kids, they interpret that as, oh, wow, this is like quality time with my mom or my dad or something. So I think it's just how we see things and how they see things sometimes don't. It's not always the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't have to be like some grandiose thing for them. You know, they just want to hang sometimes, you know?
And sometimes they don't.
And sometimes they don't. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I'm in the stage now where my daughter's three. So she kind of has, like, she's forced to hang out with me. She doesn't have a choice. She can't, like, just stay at home by herself. So we get a lot of quality time together. And I think about, like, when it comes to, like, a legacy and wanting her to, like, grow up knowing Jesus, like, what can I do at the age of three to make that intentional? I think one thing that we do that's, like, really simple is just praying together before meals and then, like, praying together, you know, before bed every night. Mm-hmm. And right now she's in this thing where she's, like, pray with my feet. Like, kid you not. So I'm, like, holding her feet together as we pray. And I don't even know if she's paying attention. But I do hope that these moments, as she gets older and we continue to do them, she'll be like, that's just what we do. And then know that, like, Jesus is always there for her to talk to. But yeah.
Oh, so, but that reminds me of that verse, right? In scripture, how beautiful are the feet of those that go and share, you know? Like, maybe you're praying a legacy of gospel mission over her.
Yeah, definitely. Praying with her
feet.
And that age is definitely a lot of foundation, just of almost like routine of, you want them to almost then say, when they're six or seven and you walk out of the room, we're not going to pray?
Right.
Like, what's going on? So, yeah, there is that intentionality of just building, a routine, a foundation that hopefully they grow into and miss and want and, like, you know, are saying, I want to spend time with Jesus because you showed me how to spend time with Jesus.
Yeah. And then maybe even they pass on to their children, you know, like I think of things that my mom did for us that I've done for my kids. And I kind of hope that they will continue that on to, you know, their children and stuff, too. That so it just kind of keeps going and keeps growing, like, generation after generation.
Well, not to be like overly scientific about it either, but I forget what the actual statistic is, but It's something like it's exponentially more easy for children who are ages like 2 to 10 to memorize and remember things than it is even in your teenage and young adult years.
Yeah. Right now. It's
so you providing that foundation for her now at 3 years old, like that's going to be stuff that she can fall back on and remember. And I hear my kids now even spout scripture that I'm like, we haven't even talked about that in forever. Where did that come? And they were like, oh, I remember we were talking about it when I was like seven.
That's awesome.
And yeah, those are the things that we're planting in their hearts that maybe we just don't even think about.
Well, even like sometimes I'll be like blow drying her hair and like at the end of it, I'll make her look in the mirror and I'll be like, okay, we're going to repeat after, we're going to say, I am smart, I am strong, and I'm important. And sometimes she just rolls her eyes at me and acts like I'm the craziest person ever. And sometimes she'll repeat it. But like, I want her to know those things about herself, not that just that she's like beautiful and pretty, but like that those things are true also. Mm-hmm. And so I try my best.
Well, she might roll her eyes at that now, but there will come a point where she's like, oh, wait a second, hold on.
Someday when she's 23 and looking in the mirror and having one of those days that we all have,
it will be running through her mind and she will be saying it, maybe not even out loud, but she will be saying it to herself.
Yeah.
And even having a 23-year-old. Oh, gosh. there have been conversations where she has said, I remember when you or I tried this because you did. You know, just like you said, things that we don't may not even realize we're doing in the moment they're picking up on it and they're seeing how it impacted our lives. And so they want to do that in their lives.
They do learn so much from just watching us too. Oh, yeah. Which is also like really great because I'm like, oh, I don't have to sit down and teach. But it's also like very terrifying.
Yeah.
It's like, what am I saying about myself in the mirror that she's also picking up on and things like that that I'm trying to be conscious of even now at 3?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My daughter Elena will call me out on that. She is like Sassy Pants McGee. And so like anytime I say like anything negative about myself, she's like, hey, mom. Like she gets in my face about it. Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? I needed to hear that. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yep.
So on the other side of legacy, this might be, I don't know, this is a weird question, but I was thinking about this morning as I was thinking about this podcast. We often think of all the good things of legacy. Like, what do we want to bring to the table? What are the good things that we want to talk about? What are the good things we want to impart? But maybe what the harder question is when we talk about legacy building, what are the things that make you most nervous? What are the things that you don't want to bring to the table? Is there stuff that, you know, maybe it's generational stuff. I don't know what that looks like for each of our families. But for whatever reason, that's been in my head lately when I've been thinking about legacy building, too.
I think for me, having like, and no fault, my mom, we did the Mother's Day podcast last year with them and it went really well. But like there are some things that she's just said about my parents over the years that is like really stuck with me in like a negative way. And so when it comes to like building a legacy, like those are things I don't want to like bring into that relationship with Stella, and owning my mistakes. There are a lot of times, even now, like this was so sad. So we went kayaking on Saturday and I slammed her little fingers in the door of the Jeep, but not even like the door part that closes, like the hinge part. So I didn't even see that they were there. And so I'm freaking out. And as soon as she calms down, she apologizes to me. And I'm like, no. I was like, this was mommy's fault. And like just owning those moments and being like, you don't need to apologize. Like you did nothing wrong here. My husband was like, well, she needs to learn a lesson about sticking her fingers in the door. And I'm like, that's for later. In this moment, she needs to know that I am sorry and I did not mean to hurt her. So like in something like simple like that, but like in the bigger things too, like if I am harsh with her, if I do say something that's, you know, that I shouldn't have said, like owning that and apologizing and asking for forgiveness is something that like kind of a negative thing that I didn't really see growing up that I want to kind of heal that generational trauma, I guess.
That's really good.
I know for our family, you know, bit of a unique situation in the sense that because our kids are so spread out over, you know, we pretty much have two adult children,
family,
you know,
and
like two teenagers. There have been a lot of things, you know, we've looked back with the adult children that were like, ugh, I wish we could have done that differently. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to correct with the younger ones. But I think being willing to sit down and have a conversation with the older ones and just as they're telling us stuff, like not getting defensive, not being like, well, you know, that was a different time or, you know, make excuses, but just kind of hear those things. And I think even now with the teenagers, like being open to let conversation happen, that's like, you're kind of like, ooh, I should, like you said, I should own that, or I'm going to work better on listening or those things. So, yeah, I think that's, you know, for our family, it's been interesting just to watch our parenting shift and change as we are, you know, kind of almost looking in a, you know, in a mirror with our adult children of what they're doing, experiencing and saying. And then, you know, with our other children just being like, okay, I'm going to, you know, try to be better on these things. And of course, we're not. We're not perfect. So, like, we're still having to own and apologize. But, yeah, I think that's what we're kind of working through.
So I think for us, and this might be a bit of a different take, like, my kids have had the opportunity, you know, I don't know, good or bad, I'm not quite sure yet, to see my husband and I take care of our parents, so my kids' grandparents. And for both sides, that's just been a really tough thing for us. Like my family and my husband's family, I don't think really, and I'm not at this age or stage of life yet, so I don't really know how to approach it necessarily, but they don't really have a plan in place. And so for me, I'm the only sibling here. And for my husband, for a little bit, he was the only sibling here. His brother's here now. But it's just, it's been a hard season and they've watched it.
Yeah.
And it has, it's affected them. Mm-hmm. And so I think like my husband and I have had like really candid conversations about how we will do this different for our children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it can be a very beautiful thing.
Yeah.
You know, generations taking care of generations.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, it's been hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for my kids, I really want to be intentional with that stage and that phase of life
mm-hmm.
so that they can, and then our grandchildren mm-hmm. someday, can enjoy this season,
mm-hmm.
you know, differently than what we've had to do.
Yeah. No, that's a really good perspective, actually. Yeah. I think for me / us, my husband and I think it's, we have both come from really hard situations, right? Like we mm-hmm. both came out of divorce and remarried, and there's this blending of the family and stuff like that. And we both come from parents who were not divorced. And, you mm-hmm. know, my parents are still together. Both of his parents are gone now. But there's a lot of, I don't even know how to say it, carrying of my side of things sometimes when I think about that, like, oh, my parents have this legacy. They're still together. They're, you know, this, that, and the other. But my first marriage ended for a multitude of reasons. And what does that look like in making sure that my kids know how to choose a spouse
right.
and how to voice hurt and concern and communication and be an advocate for themselves when they, because I feel like a big piece of my story is that I listened really hard to what the enemy was telling me about life back in my late teens and early 20s. And that went into a huge portion of what I chose and when I chose it. And I just want them to know that, like, if they're struggling with something internally, that it's okay to be honest about it. I think, you know, I grew up in, and my home was not this way, but I felt like society was this way when I was growing up, that you didn't let other people see the mess, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, you needed
absolutely.
To keep it together.
Yeah.
And, you know, and to my parents' credit, they were always amazing at making sure inside our home that it was a safe space and it was, you know, a good place to do that. But I think there were additional outward pressures
yeah.
in what I was growing up in those decades, too, where I just felt like, well, I'm going to disgrace somebody if I tell them that I'm struggling with X thing, you
mm-hmm.
know? And I've really struggled with, in my parenting, making sure there's a fine line between, like, how do you let somebody know that it's okay to be honest about mm-hmm. those things / also enabling certain mm-hmm. certain types
yeah.
of things
yep.
too, you know?
Yep.
So, yeah, just trying to learn the balance in that between, I don't want them to feel like they have to carry
right.
baggage and trauma mm-hmm. and things like that and feel like they have to be singularly responsible for it. And I wish now on this side of my story that I had felt like I personally could be more honest with my parents even
mm-hmm.
26 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I needed to protect them from certain things that I was dealing with or walking through. And I just wonder how different the story might have been if
right.
I had been more honest about what I was feeling mm-hmm. in those moments.
Yeah.
And I think that can even translate into motherhood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we all see on social media how that pendulum can swing from either like, oh, I've look at my perfect children all dressed perfectly
right.
and I've got everything perfect,
mm-hmm.
to the like, I'm a mess
yeah.
and here's my mess
right.
and like, be okay in your mess. And so, yeah, it's just finding, I think, those good friendships, finding
mm-hmm.
those good, even mentors, people
yes.
who are maybe a stage ahead of you
yeah.
to kind of give, like you said, that safe space to
yeah.
kind of say, hey, as a mom, like, this is what I'm struggling with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to just completely live in like, well, I'm a mess and that's
right.
who I am.
Exactly.
But I don't want to, you know, also pretend that everything's okay mm-hmm. when it's not. And so, yeah, just finding those relationships, I think. And like you said, or having those people like your parents, like mm-hmm. you could have opened up to, I think really help with that.
Yeah.
I would love to see that more. I really would.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would love to see, like, I am craving like that type of community from like the older generation
mm-hmm.
that's like walked before us to
yeah,
be able
yeah.
to like give us and provide that wisdom. And I look at my mom and I look at her friend group from church and these women are hilarious.
Oh,
they
yeah.
are amazing. But I just think like, gosh, if they were like pouring into
mm-hmm.
and pouring over women of our age and our mm-hmm. phase and stage of life, like, I just can't help but think the amazing things that would come out of that, because
mm-hmm.
I think there's something beautiful in that.
Mm-hmm. I wonder sometimes if as generations, we don't give ourselves permission to interact with the other generation in that way sometimes. Yeah. Like, it's a protective bubble of like, well, you know, here's this season of life and I have to stay with these people in this season of life. But so I don't know, like overlapping that feels important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a pride thing sometimes too, because we're like, oh, our generation's the best. And I'm just hanging out with people in this generation because that generation is like backwards on this thing and stuff. And so I feel like sometimes I do get stuck in that where I'm like, well, I don't want to hang out with them because they think this certain way. But I do think, and we kind of talked about, me and Mark were kind of talking about this on the morning show, just about like how kids would play in neighborhoods back in the day.
Oh,
and everybody
gosh.
Knew
yes.
their neighbors. And so because you knew your neighbors, you knew that some neighbors had kids and some neighbors were grandparent age. And so they still looked out for the kids in the neighborhood and you got to know everybody. And there was that more of like sense of community where you were talking to like the grandparents next door or like the new mom down the street while you're in a later phase of motherhood than she is and stuff. And so I think we've gotten so to the point where we just live our lives on social media and don't talk to each other that it's easy to just be like, oh, I have this under control. Like, and we all know we're not posting like the struggle it was to get my child dressed. I'm posting how cute she looks afterwards. Like, you know, and so I think talking about it is huge and finding those spaces to do that. And I tend to be an oversharer. My husband's like, why would you say that to somebody? And I'm like, I don't know. That's just how I feel in the moment. And so like still like sharing, especially the hard things, like me and him have walked through some really hard stuff in our marriage. And even now, some of our friends know and some of them don't, because we're very particular with who we share it with, because you don't want to just share, like you were talking about, like you don't want to just put your mess out there for everybody to be like, here's our mess. But if it can help somebody get through a certain thing that you're going through, that you've been through, that God's walked you through, then it's important that we share it. And I do feel like my mom was very much like, don't tell anybody anything. Mm-hmm. Like, I could tell her stuff, but like outside of the household, kind of like what you were saying, like, we didn't talk about, because my dad was a deacon at the church and we had this like perfect family. So we didn't talk about anything to anyone else back then. And so I do think that like generationally, like this grouping of our age is like getting better at like, hey, you can tell your friend you're struggling with that. If they are too, like they might need to know that they're not alone in this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And what a huge gift, talking about legacy, that we can give each other in our generation, but also, hopefully set an example for the next generation coming up that, hey, it's okay to have actual real integrated relationships with people, you know? But back to your point of the cross-generational thing, I guess I'm going to start praying about that. Like, how do we be more intentional about crossing the generations for above and below where we are in life?
Yeah. And honestly, like, I know, again, this is kind of the outside peering in, like with my mom's friend group, you know, just to use them as an example, like, you know, in conversations and stuff that I have with them, you know, I think my first thought was like they were going to not be like open to anything. Mm-hmm. And yet, like, I would be talking about something, I would mention something, they'd be like, okay, wait, what is that? You know, and then I would explain and they'd be like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. You know, like, I mean, so I think that they are like eager to learn and stuff like that as well. Like, I don't think it's just like, oh, we have nothing in common kind of thing. I think there is like an eagerness for them to learn as well. But yeah, I think there's just something beautiful about it. And I think, I don't know. I just think there's something there.
Well, I think our American way of life has kind of like gotten in the way of some of that.
Sure.
I think about
like
my grandmother, my step-grandmother, she is Italian, my nonna, and she talks a lot about the generational interaction that they have in Italy. And it was all very common for 3 to 4 generations of people to sit down at the table together, to do life together. You know, it's, and I think of other people that I've known from other cultures as well. Hispanic culture does this incredibly well, the cross-generational involvement in life. So I just think sometimes our American dream of like everybody kind of walking their own walk has done away with some of the beauty that comes in that big family, you know, growth.
Well, they even talk about the benefits of having like little kids, like elementary school kids, go to nursing homes and hang out with like older people, and it like brightens their day. It keeps them more mentally like with it, and it teaches the kids something as well. And so more of that.
I will say this too, like, and I've kind of seen a little bit of that from our own situation. Like my in-laws were, well, both sets of our parents were heavily involved in raising our children. Like, mm-hmm. I will openly say I could not have done it without yeah. them. I mean, they were there anytime we needed them. They were, both sets of parents were retired by the time we had, like, children and stuff. And so they have just been heavily involved in watching our kids grow. And my in-laws specifically, when they stopped, like, picking up the kids, like, after school and taking them to their house and stuff like that, it slowed them down.
Oh, yeah.
Like, after that yeah. happened, like, there was something, like, really about having something, like, going to the school, picking our kids up, bringing them home. Maybe they'd go, you know, to McDonald's after and go through the drive-thru real quick or something, come home. They'd walk them to the park. They'd go play at the playground. You know, there was something to be said for that. And, like, when that just kind of – and we – I think, stepped away from that with them because we thought it was too much for them. It was getting to be too much for them. But when that stopped, that really, like, slowed them down a bit.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that. I've seen that a lot with my parents as well. They've been very, very heavily involved in helping me survive motherhood and all the things. And I do think about that sometimes. I think I choose to protect them from the asks that I could give sometimes.
Sure.
Because I'm like, oh, I don't want to bother them. Like, they've got their own life going on. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be a burden. Whereas when you talk to my mom, she's like, why didn't you call me?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Why didn't you text me? Like, yeah. I would be there. I live for this stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. There's something to be said, too, about not robbing each other of those moments.
It's hard for us because we don't have family near us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, like, we, like, I feel bad asking them. Like, we're going home for Mother's Day this month because we've asked them to come up when we moved. We asked them to come up when we did the baby shower. We asked them to come up. And so they've just been driving up here. But I will say I really appreciate it. My aunt drove my 90-year-old grandmother up for the baby shower.
Aww.
And so when I was growing up, I would spend a week at each grandparent's house in the summer. Like, I would spend a week with my mom's parents, a week with my dad's parents. I don't even know what they did while I was gone. But it was just like we had those times. And so, like, as I don't know. I think I get to be more fearful now of, like, oh my gosh, can we leave her for a week? Like, we've done it a couple times, like, where we've gone on vacation and, like, left her and stuff. But, like, as, you know, we're about to have another baby, and it goes back to, like, is it too much for them to watch two kids for a week, especially newborn? Like, but at the same time, they're like, we want to spend more time with her, like, and the new baby, like, we would love to do that. And my mom, my dad's retired, my mom's about to retire. So I think coming up, we will have more opportunities to have those moments where, like, maybe they do spend a week with them in the summer and get to spend that time with them, because I want them, even though they don't live here, to be a part of
it.
And my kids have, honestly, like, the sweetest memories of their grandparents. They really do.
Yes.
Like, I mean, you ask my kids about grandma and grandpa, and, like, on either side, like, they have the sweetest memories of time with grandma and grandpa. And so, like, I'm really grateful for it, you know, and definitely consider ourselves lucky for that one. But yeah.
And you have the grand camp that your mom
does
with Annabelle, which
I know.
Is so
this
cool.
is actually her last year. She's about to age out. So she's excited and sad all at the same time. But yeah, my mom has, well, my dad did it with Wesley, our son, for, gosh, 5 or 6 years. And now my mom's doing it with Annabelle. And that, yeah, that's just a sweet, you know, time for them just to get together and just make memories. But I know for our family, we have never lived where family was no more than 2 or 3 hours away. Yeah. Like, we actually were in Texas for a while when everybody was on the East Coast. And so we really relied on our church, the grandparents in our church who maybe their kids were not there, you know, like we kind of fed into each other. They
them,
got,
yeah.
I'll never forget my son, Wesley, he was in kindergarten and they had grandparent day and we were in Texas. So there was just no way. So a lady from our church that we had been friends and she loved Wesley and all stuff. She came that day and was Wesley's, you know, pretend grandma or whatever. So, yeah, I would encourage, like, if anybody's listening who does not have family, that, like, there are opportunities, whether it's in church, whether it's, you know, you go to the library and you meet some people or a community center or you go to the Y for swimming or whatever. Like, there are opportunities to, like, build relationships with people in your community that might help kind of fill in those gaps of, okay, I don't have, you know, a family member to like babysit my kids or, you know. Right.
We have
and
our
so
Lynchburg
that,
parents is yeah. what we call it.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Well, even, I like that point too because I think because we relied so much on our families that like we did miss opportunities, for instance, of like calling up a friend of mm-hmm. theirs and saying, hey, could Corey or Reese come yeah. hang out with so-and-so while Corey and I have a date night kind yeah, of right. thing. Like we just went to grandma and grandpa, you yeah. know? And so I think that my kids missed opportunities to further foster relationships with kids their own age and yeah. things like that because yes, we solely relied on family to do it.
So I have a funny story about that. When we were having Annabelle, our fourth, the other three kids literally went to three different houses to go spend the night.
That's
but
amazing.
It was those friends.
Yeah.
You know, my one daughter, I call her the middle child because she was for a while. But like she had a best friend at church. So she was so excited to go spend right. two nights, you know, yeah. at her friend's house. And but that's how we made it work yeah. was those, like you said, those relationships of like, I'm like, OK, can you take Kayla?
Right.
Can you take Wesley? Right. And I mean, there was a bit of they were all three going like, you know, three different directions. So that helped as well. But yeah, that's how, you know, in birthing a child, yep. like that's how we yep. got through that phase.
Was, my Lynchburg mom has already taken off the whole like
oh,
week, like
oh, yeah,
the
exactly.
June, like, the end of June all the way to like the beginning of July, just in case. So she's like, these are the dates you have as a window.
Yep. Oh,
I will come
great.
Get Stella for you. Aww. So like it does, it yeah. is important to like have that community. And my parents are always like, why don't you move back? Because my whole family lives in Chesapeake. Mm. And I'm like, well, we have a community here of people. Yeah. We have a church. We have friends yeah. that have stayed, like people who know and love our kids and see them every day that I know I could do that. I could
yeah.
call and be like, hey, can you take Stella for a few hours? Mm-hmm. Like, it's nice to have that.
Yeah.
Well, I love that so many of my kids' friends call me mom, too.
Yeah.
Like, we're in this senior season with Christian. He's graduating from high school in 3 weeks, and it's just so fun. He just had his last theater performance of his high school career over the weekend.
Aww.
And so buckets and buckets of tears mm-hmm. cried over the last few days.
So both of you have
yeah,
tears.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody's got that going on right now. But it was so fun yesterday in the lobby of the school as I'm watching all these kids come out, and like I'm bawling, and then all mm-hmm. these kids are bawling, and you know, the number of kids that came up and they were like, hey, mom, you know,
aww,
it was
yeah.
just that's a piece of that legacy, too. You mm-hmm. know, that I think that and there's, you know, there's several kids in my friends' lives who don't have great family lives
yeah.
at home. And, you know, we've tried to maintain that safe space for them as well. So I think of that in terms of legacy of how does that legacy reach outside the doors of just our own home, mm-hmm. too,
right.
and the children that I birthed myself,
yeah.
but also the ones that are from other mothers,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and what does that
absolutely.
Look like?
Because
so,
we
yeah.
do have that responsibility as our kids get older and bring those friends home to, you know, be a good example of a safe space for them as well,
mm-hmm.
because you want to be that place where they can go and hang out and feel safe, especially if their home life isn't
yeah.
like that.
All right. So the big question on the table. Mother's Day is
Mother's
coming
Day.
Up.
what
is
do we
yeah.
want?
do you have you gotten that question yet? Because my husband asked me like last week or the week before. He's like, "Oh man," he's like, "Mother's Day got out of here really fast."
yes, it did.
He's like, "What do you want?" And I was like, "I don't really want anything.
Yeah,
I don't
I feel
know."
Bad for Phil because I just had a birthday too. So like, it's
oh,
like
yeah.
my birthday, and then like the next week is Mother's Day, and so it's always a struggle for him, but. It's hard because, like, as much as we love our kids, we also, like, need some time to just be
yeah.
alone.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for Mother's Day, it's not really necessarily, like, not wanting to be with her or not wanting to, like, be with Phil. It's like, I want to go do something together as a family, but I don't want to have to plan it.
Yeah.
I don't want her to sit on my side of the booth, so I have to feed her.
Mm-hmm.
I want her to climb all over you. I want you to have to wipe her sticky syrup hands. Like, it's that kind of, like, okay, like, I want to be with my family, but I don't want to necessarily have to be the mom in the moment
mm-hmm.
for Mother's Day. Like, I just want to go and have fun with you guys, and you mm-hmm. take care of the responsibility part of it kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah.
I want to eat my own meal and not have to share.
Exactly.
That's funny. Yeah. Well, I know for me, with older children, it is kind of that more of that mental break of like, mm-hmm. like you said, like, I don't want to have to think about it. Apparently, my husband's already got me something, and he's like dying to give it to me. Oh, and he's the worst. He's the worst though about like he'll probably try to give it to me this week. You know, when he's like, I can't wait anymore. But I think it's interesting too. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the five love languages, but mine is like words of affirmation. Mm. So I'm like, as long as you acknowledge that there's a day and you tell me Happy Mother's Day, like that's honestly all I need. Like bring me a cup of coffee maybe, but like that's all I need. Yeah. Where it sounds like with you, Brittany, it's like the quality time, that act of service. Like these are things that like feed into me. Yeah. So I think that plays a little part into it because it's like my husband, like I said, he got me a gift, which I'm grateful. But like, you know, he could bring me gifts and flowers and all the things and just leave it. And if he doesn't even say Happy Mother's Day, I'm like,
but mine is a card. Like you Phil has bought me flowers in the past for things. And like, even if you just fill out the card that comes with the flowers, I mean, it's fine. Yep. I would prefer an actual card. But there's been a year where he's given me a gift without a card. And I'm like, I'd much rather have the card. Like, I'd much rather you say something nice than like give me a gift. So, I feel that one.
Yeah. It's just interesting to see how that, you know, translates to everybody.
I'm like not a gifts person. I am not like, I'm not a good receiver of gifts, and I'm not a good giver of gifts. Like I think I just overthink it way too much. So for me, like my husband has learned, like I think he would buy flowers like when we were first like first had kids and stuff like that, and I was like, stop. Even plants. Then he would like move to plants or something, and I'd be like, oh my gosh, I killed these things. Like, stop. Yes. Like, just like, and he's like so good about it, you know? But yeah, I think he knows now that I'm just like, I'm not the best like receiver of gifts or anything like that. And so I think for me, definitely it's more like, hey, let's just go do something. Mm. But again, I don't want to think of the details. Like, I don't even want to. Like, I just don't, you know. So I think that's kind of like the, or just quiet, you know. Like, sometimes everything is so busy. Mm-hmm. And even as we're like, you know, I mean, my kids and I, like, we love to drive around and listen to the music. And I do. I love that. But, like, just sometimes, like, just quiet is, like, good, too, you know. And so I don't know. I don't know what that would look like exactly. But, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's more of the stage of life that maybe I'm in right now, too. Everything is chaos all the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's not like chaos is bad all the time, like, because it's good chaos sometimes, too, right? Mm-hmm. There's just a lot going on. But I tend to have to be the one in our house that is preparing the calendars and preparing the food and making sure everybody has gotten where they're supposed to go. And nothing against my husband at all. That's just how it goes in our house. You know, he's a very hard worker, and he's got the stuff that he does. But it's not in his foray to keep up with everything all the time. So it falls to me. And I think
it's funny because I feel like Mike is probably like this, and so is Phil. Like, organized, like, so well at work.
Oh, yes.
Like, do everything at work, manage all these people, so organized, calendars, like, spreadsheets, all this. And then, like, when it comes to the house, it's, like, on us to, plan everything and organize
everything.
Yeah,
he'll literally be like, I didn't know that was happening. And I was like, it's on the 8 shared calendars that we all have.
But,
yeah, I think, you know, he brought up the question of, like, hey, what do you want for Mother's Day? And I'm in this season of life right now where I'm trying to declutter my life. So I'm like, I kind of... And I mean that from, like, all aspects, mentally, physically, everything. And I'm kind of like, I don't need one more thing in my life right now. So unless it's something that's going to make my life easier, I don't need a gift of any
kind. Go through all of their things and get rid of 10 items. Yes. That's what Kate wants.
Happy Mother's Day to me.
Exactly. But I don't know. Like, and Aiden, he's so funny. He's my big teddy bear. He's almost 6 feet tall, and he's only 14 years old. And he's just this big teddy bear of a personality. And Mike said jokingly at the dinner table the other night, he goes, well, your mom doesn't want anything for Mother's Day, so we're not going to do anything for Mother's Day. And Aiden was like, oh, no. Like, he was like, that's not okay. And I was like, no, really, like, I really don't want anything for Mother's Day. I think for me, the gift would just literally be that I don't have to cook dinner. Mm-hmm. I don't have to think about anywhere that anybody's going that day. Yeah. I am asked no questions that day.
Yeah.
That would be the
just
best.
Just hang out with me and don't ask me to do anything.
Yeah.
go ask your dad.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I do have a nice bathtub. Maybe I'll like just have some quiet time.
Ooh, you do? Like, that's right.
Maybe I'll do that. I don't know.
Well, we have an interesting Mother's Day this year because Annabelle, my youngest, is in competitive gymnastics. And so we have to be about 2.5 hours away at 9 a.m. for her competition. So I'm kind of like, happy Mother's Day to me. We'll be in the car. So I'm sure there will be like, where do you want to go to lunch? Yeah, right. Can I get you coffee? Yeah. And all the things. But yeah, I think, Kate, like you said, like, you know, stages of life. Yeah. It's like whether they're crawling all over top of you or you're trying to plan out the 8 shared calendars.
It's like we all have our moms too.
Quiet.
Yeah. And like trying to figure out how to like, for me now being a new mom, and like normally Mother's Day is all about my mom. Mm-hmm. And how do we make that about both of us now? And like, it's even hard because like, oh, I want to take her out to lunch. And she's like, well, you're a mom too. So like, I don't want you to pay for me. And like, it just gets really weird. And so I texted her and asked, what do you want for Mother's Day? And she kind of was like, I just want to spend time with you and Stella. And like, I booked a brunch place. And I'm like, okay, but I feel like I have to give you something. Aww. Like, so I don't know what I'm going to give her, but we are going to go there because I felt like she's been doing so much for me and coming up here. But it is like a weird phase. Like, how do we like incorporate our moms into what we want to?
My mom is very much like, just come spend time with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's really all she wants. Like, a whole bunch of us ended up at their house last night after the last performance. And she texted later and she was like, it was so fun having everybody over here. Like, that fills her cup. So for her, it's less these days about things as well. Like, don't give me a gift. Just like, come over and sit on my couch and talk to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
Well, that was, I feel like we've covered a lot again. And so just remember that this month is sponsored by the Maple Leaf Tea Room. So if you go in there in the month of May and mention The Journey when you visit, you'll get 10% off. And if you want to go on the weekend, make sure you make a reservation. And if you want to go with us, make sure you sign up for the Mom and Me Tea. We're so excited to bring that back. It's from 2 to 4 p.m. on May the 17th at the Maple Leaf Tea Room.
And happy Mother's Day.
And happy Mother's Day.
Thanks for listening to Diary of the Mom Squad. Tune in next time for more stories, more laughter, and the reminder that we always need more Jesus. You got this, Mom!